I am very excited in the few moments that we have to begin a new series today, and it's entitled Love Not the World. This is going to be a barn burner. And no matter how thick your steel, I forgot, gauge, I guess, maybe the gauge, I'm not sure. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
What gauge your steel boots are, it's going to crush your toes. Yeah, and that's okay. We want our toes pulverized. This powder is crushing them so, because we want to be better. We want to bring him more glory. If I'm loving the world and don't realize it, then I need to know that. If I'm loving certain facets of the world, I need to know that. I need to know what love means. And what does the world mean? What does the word world mean? And what it doesn't refer to in this particular case. So for our foundation text, glory be to God, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Thank you, Father God, in heaven above. Oh, who rules with wisdom, power, and love. Oh, our God is what? An awesome God. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. Oh, I feel like preaching. I need to get me some drum for Clyde and an organ for somebody else. Glory be to God. Woo-wee! Ah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I want everybody with an eyeball on this. And I really think here at Word of Life, we don't have that attitude. I done heard it before. I done read it before. I just don't really see that here. And I thank God for that. At least I'm believing that's not in your heart. Because how many know you can read something 100 times and on the 101st time you get as if you never read it the first 100 times? Because revelation is birthed so into our heart and mind. There's the interest of God's words give light. And that light is so bright and so magnificent and so luminescent, if you will, that it's like you never even read the verse before. He's a mighty God. I love how one pastor said that the word of God is like pregnant, giving birth to new revelation all the time. There's a deeper understanding. Because as long as we all are on this earth, we're only going to be scratching the surface. No matter how many years you've been walking with the Lord, how many years you've been studying the Word of God, is compared to what's all there, to the total body and the depth of what's all there, we're just scratching the surface. That's how rich His Word is. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word world in that one verse is mentioned three times. You think he could have said it. He could have used a pronoun. But he kept saying world, world, world. Don't worry, he's got three more times. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Six times world is used in those three verses. Is it safe to say that he's trying to get a point across about not loving the world? That's a fair statement. Six times in three verses. There was some crazy teaching going on. John was dealing with some mess like we are today. Crazy teachings going on. Folks, you can almost pick it out if you said don't love the world, know the things of the world. If you do, the love of the Father not in them. You can best believe that people were loving the world and thinking it was no big deal. And the Holy Spirit is correcting, and there's a lot more deeper to go on there, but that's kind of the gist of it. And the Holy Spirit is correcting that false teaching. By saying, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. That's another way of saying what?
You're not saved.
You're not saved, young preacher. That's exactly right. If you notice, when John says these things by the Holy Spirit, he's not trying to be polite and politically correct. How many times did he say, "You are a liar, and the truth is not"? It's gangster enough to say you are lying, but on top of that, "and the truth is not in you." And the overall meaning is, you are not saved and on your way to hell and a child of the devil. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." He's not, "Well, you know, you might not be saved. You know, the God may not be your..." No, the love of the Father is not in your absolute certainty. You're not saved. Now, that statement, "the love of the Father is not in you," it begs the question, well then, what does love in this particular instance mean? Because I believe I'm saved, but if I love the world, I mean, what? So help me on that. And that's good. That's a legitimate question. Now, the word love is agapao, and let me agapao, agapao. Oh. A-G-A-P-A-O. And let me see if I can. A-G-A-P-A-O. And that's a form of the word agape or agape. Now, God did agape the world, and we're to agape one another. You say, "Well, I don't get it. What's going on? Talk to me real quick, because I'm kind of confused on this here." So let's go to a little bit of history, kind of in a sense. So the writers of the Word of God, what they would do is they would take a word that's used in the more classical, secular sense, and they would bring that word over into the spiritual. You follow that? And so as they would migrate that word over into the spiritual, they would have to add to the meaning of it so that it fit the spiritual concepts, and fit the theology. You follow me? So the word was kind of short. The word kind of fell a little short in leaving the definition of it alone in the classical sense. So they had to kind of add to it and give it its meaning. So at times, though, the writers of the New Testament would use that word and leave it in its classical sense. And that's what he did here. He left it in its classical sense. So it's not talking about love the Lord your God comprehensively, like it says, and love your neighbor as yourself, and love fulfills the royal law, and love covers a multitude of sin. That is the in the spiritual sense. Okay, that's what the extra verbiage and definitions apply to it. So if you take that away and leave it back in the classical sense, it means, and this is where we get to this, it's purely classical sense. The word here means fondness and affection for an object because of its value. So fondness and an affection for an object because of its value. Okay, so that did come up. Okay. So fondness, and affection for an object, in this case the world, because of its value, because you place value on the things of the world. It's a love of admiration and of esteem. That's in the classical sense. You admire it, you esteem it, you value it, and that causes you to be fond of it and have affection for it. Does that make sense? So if you were to go back to the verse, I'm going to put that on there too. If you were to go back to the verse, let's put that in there. So let's put that in there. Do not love, don't be fond of, have affection for, or value the world. Don't admire it and don't esteem the world and the things of the world. That's why we got to be careful as to what we do place value and esteem on in the world. And we need to be sure that this is not God. This is not of God. This is of the world. See, the Holy Spirit will tell you, even if you're confused and you kind of are caught up into a certain thing because of you value. And this is where we get in trouble on the way back. Because when we value something, we can get in trouble and then begin to attach a fondness to it without our really not. Wait a minute. Hold on now. Is this of God? Like, how many times when we value something, we are fond of something, we are esteeming something, do we cut through in the middle of it and hear the Holy Spirit and say, hey, you need to recheck that? Because you really are fond of something. Hey, you know, it ain't no straight up sin, but it is a weight and it's a hindrance to your walk with me. You need to recheck that. And when the Lord reveals that to you, simple prayer, Lord, help me to devalue what I'm valuing. Help me to count as nothing this. Apostle Paul said, all things I used to value, I count as nothing, as manure. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought I said that would preach, but most churches that wouldn't preach. He counted it as manure. All of his accomplishments and great achievement that he had while he was in the world, whatever that word is over here somewhere, while he was in the world. All of those great achievements. Even his lineage was beautiful. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Circumcised the eighth day. Some say he had two PhDs by 18 or 19. Brilliant. Genius. See, but when I came to Christ, I saw the value in him. Oh, preach to somebody. And when I saw the value in him, it made me devalue all this other stuff. I no longer was fond of it. I no longer had an affection for it. I no longer admired what I accomplished. I no longer esteemed it, because all of that esteem and my admiration, fondness, and affection all went to Jesus. Yes. And by the way, can you see how that you can't have dual allegiance? To love not the world. We'll get to it, because verse 16 says, because if you love the world, it's the love of the Father is not, you can't love both. So it refers to an affection and a fondness, a love of admiration. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 10, yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, 10. Y'all must still taking notes. It'll be 92 in November. That word to keep your mind right, won't it? Man. That's what I said. Keep the word on your mind. He said, thou wilt, he will keep him in perfect peace. Complete peace. Whose what? Mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. I mean, it's, the word of God has all the keys, y'all.
Yeah.
They got the keys. Okay, mother got it. 2 Timothy 4:10. Got it? For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted and forsaken me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Everybody has gone from me, but in particular, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas was his guy. He was on the, quote unquote, the ministerial staff of Apostle Paul. He was in the inner circle of Apostle Paul. We're trying to go through all of that. You can do a little study on that. Demas was the guy, was one of his guys, a main guy. Demas took a peek, if you will, into the things in the world. And in my own little way of saying it, his peek became a glance became a stare. And when the longer he looked, the more beautiful it became. He began to value it. And once he valued it, he became fond of it. He developed an affection for it. Then it got worse. He began to admire it and then uplift it, esteem. Next thing you know, Jesus Christ was left in the dust. And all that was connected to Jesus was done. You are with the great, maybe the second greatest apostle, second to Jesus. You're hanging with him this April. You're in this inner circle. You're trusted. He sees the things of this world. Like, man, bye-bye, I'm gone. That is so scary when you're a pastor. Because you want to train folks up and you want to pour your life into them. And they just gone. This is so serious. It is so serious. This series is not to be taken lightly. This command is not to be taken lightly. Do not love the world. Don't do it. Don't do it. And me almost saying it in a mournful tone is not for dramatic effect. I ain't no dang old actor. I'm trying to get a point across to you. This is serious business. Many folks are failed. Like every time I turn on my man Al Mohler, there's somebody else who has failed in ministry. I mean, who have just way up. I mentioned Robbie Zacharias 2 weeks ago. Like the very next week, his own organization over which he's the president, the Southern Baptist Convention, had to, lack of a better term, disfellowship not one, not two, not three, but four churches. Not even just the past, but four churches. Because two of them, the pastors had sexual sins, and the other two, they punked out and gave in to the LGBTQ pressure. So we gotta let you go. You can't be in this organization. These ministries are falling like dominoes. And it breaks my heart every single time. When the top leading Christian adoption agency this week gave in to the homosexual perversion movement and are now going to adopt to same-sex couples. That's heartbreaking. The thing ought to be, I'd rather close and be broke than to dishonor God. I'd rather close and be broke. I'd go and be on the food stamp line. I'd rather drink muddy water and sleep in a hollow log than to dishonor God. But what Satan does is slick. It's real slick. The reasoning is this. Well, hey, we ain't got to just say out loud that we agree with the LGBTQ movement. You don't have to say it, and they didn't say it. We're just going to just say, hey, we're helping more people. That's the lie. Or, that's the truth, but that's the trick. Because you are helping more people. But you're doing it at God's expense. You're doing it at because you're compromising the word of God. So you say, well, hey, but the trade-off is we're helping more people. And the bottom line is to help people. No, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is to bring God glory.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works while you're helping more people.
Amen.
That's not what the verse says. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. John 15, verse 5 or so. Herein, King James, is my Father glorified because you bear much fruit. Are we bearing much fruit so that we can say, hey, I'm bearing fruit? No. Herein, notice the emphasis is on my Father being glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. That's in the emphatic position. That's where the emphasis is on. My Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. Herod was eaten of worms because he gave God, he did not give God the glory. It's all about God's glory. My wife almost put me off my job, and she ain't got the power to fire me, but she would have, almost. Talking to my nephew, the Lord dropped that nugget on us that it's not about people. It's not about nothing or nobody else, primarily.
Amen.
It's only about him and his glory.
Yes, it is.
And when that revelation hit our hearts, man, I went to, he could shout because he's in a legal place to shout. I'm shouting and I'm not, and my wife come over there and had to close the door on me. But it was so hot. When the nephew, that was so hot off the press. I couldn't do nothing with it but just let out something. Cause that's a revelation. You get that? It's about God. It's like, well, what about the people? It's about God. That's a revelation. And the word of God proves it. I told you, keep going back to Jesus and that doggone sheep gate thingamajiggy, whatever it was.
Yes.
Courtyard. Full. Word of God says, a multitude. If it was about the people, he'd have stopped and healed everybody.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I don't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father,
yes,
that he may be glorified.
Amen.
And so the lie that Satan has told the Catholic adoption agency is that you get to help more people, but you compromise the word and you bring this honor to God. Remember, it says about the older women are to teach the younger women.
Yes.
Teaching to honor their husbands and be lovers at home and keepers at home and love the children so that the word of God be not blasphemed or evil spoken of, mm-hmm, and insulted. Not because you have better families. That's collateral.
Right.
That's secondary. Firstly, be a godly woman so that God gets the glory.
Amen.
Be a godly pastor so that God gets the glory. Be a godly adoption agency so that God gets the glory. And if you can't do that, then be broke. It ought to tear us up when we don't honor God. It ought to tear us up when we compromise for cash money. Because that's really the bottom line. We love our comfort.
Amen.
We love the things in the world. We love them. That's the bottom line. We don't want to give them up. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. He's forsaken me. He's turned his back on me. And in doing so, he turned his back on God. Do you see that? Do you see this right here? My back is now to that which I once faced. My back was to the world and facing the things of God. But I got tricked. I got deceived. Go back to Private Ryan. First half hour. You must always stay on guard. Demas was rocking with Paul for a minute. It's looking good. He probably got all kind of things he was doing. Somehow, he was hoodwinked. He was bamboozled. And he began to turn. See, you know, you can take a peek. And my Lot's wife gets in trouble there.
Yeah.
So let me rephrase that. It's dangerous even to take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lot's wife turned back and looked, and she was done immediately. Herod didn't give the glory. He was done immediately. Peter, Ananias, and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and they were done immediately. It's about God and his glory, saints of God. It will always be about God. It will always be about his glory, period. It will always, it's not about the people. What the devil has done is he's taken helping people and has sort of made a religion out of that. That's what he's done.
Yes.
And it's slick, too. Well, I'm helping people. I'm helping people. I'm helping people. And if you're not helping people, it's like you're committing the unpardonable sin. Well, how dare you? It's how dare you not bring God glory. Tell me, how dare you? How dare you, Catholic, great goddess? Do you know hospitals, agency, school, all the God worked through all Christians to start all that stuff up. They weren't there because the devil don't care about none of that. And I don't care about speaking proper English right now either. The devil don't care nothing about none of that. He really doesn't. Truth be told, these old this sexually perverted movement, which is trying to take over everything, wants to come into the hospitals and all the things that God's people started and make the people of God conform to you must perform same-sex surgeries here, you must perform all those kind of things. Notice the hospitals, St. Jude, St. Joseph, those are all Christian hospitals. Ain't no Jay-Z hospital. And Madonna, not talking about Madonna. Oh, the hospital started by people of God with a care for the lost, because we're the ones that really are truly been equipped to help people, as the Lord leads. So when the Lord says, help this person, only we can really help them, because I think God is going to be glorified. That's the bottom line. Any sinner can do good deeds, at least on the surface, and they're not good deeds because they're not glorifying God, so they really aren't good. is to satisfy self, not to bring God glory. And that's a hard thing for people to hear, Christians to hear. But when a sinner does something good, it's not good because it doesn't bring glory to God. The intent is wrong.
Amen.
The intent is selfish.
Yes.
They want to feel good, clear their conscience. How do you think God can say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? One part of that is feeling guilty. Here, man, here, start a church. Here go $5 million. I feel better. Yeah, that happens. We haven't ran back into them, but I don't know if I told you all, but that's what, don't be surprised if that happens here at Word of Life, because my nephew ran into a guy, and he was saying that conversation. He said, man, just get back with me, but the Lord hasn't brought it back to pass yet. And that was like a year ago. Very rich man with a guilty conscience. He wouldn't just throw his money at something. May appear to be good. And by the way, that counts for Christians too. We can do what appears to be good things, and it's not good. Because God said, I didn't tell you to do it.
Amen.
So therefore, that didn't bring me any glory. You got glory. People felt good. Uh-oh, don't this sound like Matthew 7? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we run do this and feed the poor and go out and do this and this and that and the other in your name? And they may have did all of those things. Some people argue, did they really do those things? Might have. The question is, that's not even the question. The question is, I mean, not the question. The fact of the matter is, it wasn't in his name. They thought it was. Because he says, King James is nice. Depart from me. Get out of my face is more accurate. Get out of my face. Then it's even worse. I never knew you. Never means what, nephew?
At no point in time in history.
In case y'all didn't hear that. He said, at no point in time in history have I known you. That's scary. You did all of those works and thought you were good. Like, I'm good. And Jesus said, well, nah, I really didn't tell you to do that, but that was okay. He said, I never knew you, meaning your whole body of works is invalidated because I never knew you. At no time, point in time in history have I ever known you. Not I once knew you and then you slipped out and forgot my memory and got amnesia. No, I never knew you. And of course, you know what that means, meaning you were never saved. That's what know means. Of course, he knows. That's because he's omniscient.
Amen.
He's talking in a sense of because the Lord knows, the word of God says, the Lord knows those who are his. Somebody help me out.
Hallelujah.
You belong to me. I know you intimately. Though the knowing that is before the foundation of the world. The knowing of a husband and a wife as they consummate marriage. That intimate, deep down knowledge. That's what Jesus said. I never knew you like that. Away from me. Get out of my face. Then it got even worse. You who work lawlessness, King James, iniquity. What? All my works you're saying are lawless is nothing? What? I know you can do. Kill me with just blinking, but I'm mad. Tell me my stuff. Get my friend sent for you, big dummy. And Jesus laying like that. He's unfazed. Out of my face. Never hear you. We better watch. This is, We better watch the things that are in the world. We better watch ourselves. That's why we haven't started the school yet. She's been praying for us for years. That statement came in September of 89. September of 89, because Brooke was just born or something like that.
No, it was 88, because Brooke was born in the fall of March. September of 1988. Told my fifth grade class, I want to start school. And here we are, 32 years later, still no school. Fine by me.
Amen.
Does understanding, Mr. Klein?
Yes.
That God is all that matters? And only what you, what Mama used to say, the only what you do for Christ is count. But the old saints used to say, only what you do for Christ that counts.
Yeah.
You know what the old folk used to say? Yeah. The old saints. Huh? Will last. Yeah? That's what you should say. Am I right, Clyde? Yeah. For Christ, it's not, if he's not validating it, then you ain't did nothing. He, Jesus, you know what? We're going to do this and we're going to close because you're going to say, no, he don't say that. He did not count their works as evil. I don't believe that. Fine. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7. My thing has stopped working. I know the devil crazy, but my computer has stopped working. That's all right. I got you. Matthew chapter 3. See, look at it. Somebody else got it. Ah, devil. Look at like verse 21. Yeah. Read it out loud.
And when
okay, go ahead, April.
One who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Stop right there. Who enters in? The one who does the will of my Father. Meaning, everything you do does not necessarily mean that it is the will of our Father.
Amen.
Now, I didn't write that, and I know, and I'm thinking of some particular churches, amen, who are really, really, really hung up on works and community things and all that's great, but if you're doing it because you are a Ford Motor Company type mindset, I got a better idea, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you want to do it to look successful, to look involved, for political advancement, for community upliftment, those are all wrong reasons.
Amen.
It's not good in the natural, but he said, Jesus said, the only ones that go in are the ones who do the will of my Father. So you always ask yourself, whatever great project you thought about, great organizational, great concept, you ought to be callousing your knees. Seeking God so tough is this of you. That's what we're praying for. All the times that you've been here, and myself, Brooke's entire life, because Brooke was in the womb when that statement was made. She was born the following March. It was said in September of 88. She was born the following March, 1989. Because I remember taking that exact class to the hospital to see Brooke. So this has been her entire life. This school. You best believe there will not be one student who will be enrolled in anything up in here. There will not be one book purchase or laptop, whatever you buy now for children. There will not be one Zoom virtual nothing until the law, L-A-W-D. You hear me, Andrew? That's how black folks say law. Law.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. He said, I got it. Until the law say so. And I'm fine by that. Because I got enough.
Lord.
Me? A hot mess. Sizzling. Frank's red hot. Hot. Do we not have enough to work on ourselves?
Oh, yes.
If we had nothing to do for the rest of our life, we have a great big task in just keeping ourselves right before God.
Oh, yes.
It's a wonder that he give us anything else to do. To be honest with you, run this, start that, what? Lord, I can't. No.
That's what we often, we looking for stuff to start and say, Lord, I ain't doing nothing. Because I'm too hot of a mess. Instead of that, we trying to find stuff. I'm bored here. Can I do the praise dance before the church? And you know that's the ministry. You know, I told that particular person, I said, notice you're picking out things that to be seen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, let me come in every night and clean the toilets and vacuum and wipe the wall down. Y'all don't know anything for no glory. I'm just telling on them, but you know, they do that all the time. Don't nobody know. Big rubber gloves on, vacuum whirring, toilets clean, sanitized. Sister Melinda done it many times I've come over. Nobody volunteering for that one, because that's not glorious. But to God, it is.
Amen.
22. Read 21 again, please.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Yes, ma'am.
On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
See there? I never knew you. Mm-hmm. I never knew you. I never knew you. And then he said, you read it there, you workers of lawlessness. That, I mean, that's really strong language. Because what they go to do when they came to him in 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. And they recite their works. Did we not prophesy, cast out demons, do many mighty works in your name? And it's almost like a play on words. Then Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, of lawlessness. Your works caused you to be workers of those works were lawless to me. They were iniquitous. Notice verse 23, and then I will declare. Because in verse 21, the many will say, that's their declaration. Verse 21, Lord, Lord, even doubling up, huh, to sound holy. Lord, Lord. Huh, watch yourself, Clyde. I'm going to sound good. That's why everybody that look good, that's what we're seeing right now with the falling away of all these ministries and people. They look good. They sound good. Lord, Lord. And notice how he says many. I'm sorry. He said not everyone. Not everyone who says Lord. Now, Lord. See, Lord, Lord is proper. But he's saying not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Because you just joining in because somebody said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, that sound right? You go to practice in your mirror. Hallelujah. If you're in the apostolic church, hallelujah. You put the hallelujah in there. And you're sounding good. You're mixing right in. You got to jerk a little bit. Hey! You'd be surprised how folks are satisfied with externals, just fitting in and looking good. Hey, I don't look weird. I'm over here in Apostolic Church doing my thing. I'm over here in John McCart Church, staying stoic. Nearer my God to thee. Okay, that's cool too. Whatever works. But Jesus saying, I'm cutting through all externals. I don't care how many you double up on the Lord, Lord. I don't care how you jerk or how you stand like a stone, like a statue. All of that is external. The bottom line is, did you do the will of my Father? Or did you have your own agenda and trying to sloss it over on God and say, okay, well, God did that. Because notice how they say it, and we're going to finally close for the 98th time. He said, did we not, verse 22, on that day many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Look at those three words, in your name. Notice how Jesus repeats it. And cast out devils in your name. And let's just summarize it. And do many mighty works in your name. The question is, well, did they really do those things? That's irrelevant. Because the bottom line is, even if they did do all of those things, Jesus summarily denounced that as workers of iniquity and lawlessness. So why would you spend your time wondering, did they really do it? If it was, it was sinful. You say, come on, man. I came to the poor. They didn't have no food on Thanksgiving. I went and got some turkeys and fixings and gave it to them. That's not evil. No, they got blessed, but you is where the sin comes in. You know, Jesus is just still the Sermon on the Mount, as they call it, where the theme is inward. Whoso look on a woman lust after her, Jesus said, y'all say they commit adultery. The act of commit, y'all external. You know, if you don't lay with a woman, if you lay with a woman, you commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoso look on her, he went inward to the heart. Y'all say don't kill. Cool. But if you get murdered, mad enough inside to kill, which is where murder comes from, you don't just go to murder. There's something inside first. Then murder is an actual external act of what you feel in your heart. He's back to that. He's still at that now. You're doing these works, but the root of where it is coming from is not godly. And it makes it lawless. And it's not counted toward the glory of God. Did you understand that? Love not the world. Be careful. Make sure you come back, Lord willing, to find out what is that world? What all does that include? In Jesus' name, Father God, we need you like never before. The enemy is so slick. He's so tricky. But I thank you that you've said in your word that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, his mode of operation, his modus operandi. I'm so glad you've told us that. And then you let us know greater, stronger, mightier, wiser is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord God, help us to hear your voice. The voice of a stranger we will not follow. Help us to be led, influenced, dominated, and controlled, not by good ideas, not by good thoughts, not by, whoa, that makes a lot of sense. That gots to be God. Not by none of that. Not by logic or rationale per se, but by your spirit. And it may lead us to do things that on the surface appear irrational, illogical, unmerciful even. Because some might say, Father God, that our Lord walking into that courtyard full of impotent, sick, paralyzed folk and only healing one person and then walking past back out past all of those others, that seems unmerciful, unloving, and unkind. But Father God, he honored you. And in that case, he did exactly what was to be done. And that is merciful, loving, and kind to please you. We are to love you, Lord God, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Secondly, is the neighbor as yourself. And we only can love them when we love you. Think about it. When we can love them and really help them, when we obey and love you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.